Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The Liturgical Scripture Readings for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the words of Elisha, the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean of his leprosy. Naaman returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before Elisha and said, "Now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant." Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives whom I serve, I will not take it." And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused. Naaman said, "If you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocaust or sacrifice to any other god except to the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Responsorial Psalm. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory from him, his holy arm.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations, he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song, sing praise.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I bear with everything for the sake of those who were chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he heard them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Carla, on this 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, a reminder to our listeners that the second Monday of October in the United States is the celebration of Columbus Day. And also this week we have a great saint, Saint Ignatius of Antioch, on October 17th. Of course, he was the one who was first coined the term Christian. So please ask for his intercession and read about him on the 17th. Well, with our first reading today, this comes from 2 Kings and involves the main character Naaman. So I want to back up a little bit because we're entering the middle of this story. So for folks who are not familiar with the background of this, this comes from 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman was a commander of the army for the king of Syria. Great warrior, but he had leprosy. Well, in one of the previous raids of Israel, they had carried off a little girl, and that little girl was the maid of Naaman's wife. So the maid said, hey, I see this, you have this leprosy, there's a prophet in Samaria and he can cure you. So Naaman went to the king and said, hey, I need this letter to go and see this great prophet. And the letter was written. He brought it to the king of Israel. King of Israel said, am I God to kill and to make alive, or that this man sends me word for me to cure him? Oh my gosh, what's going on here? But then Elisha heard that this was going on and said, hey, come to me. So Naaman and his whole retinue come to Elisha, and then he meets him, who wants this great, kind of big formal meeting. But this is what Elisha did. It says here in chapter 5, verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean. Well, that was not what Naaman was expecting. He was angry. He went away saying, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over this place and cure me. Well, then Naaman's servant said, hey, wait, calm down a little bit. And it ends here in verse 13. My father, if the prophet had commanded you to do some great thing, would you not have done it?
What a mess.
And it was something. And that's today's story.
It was something so simple. It was, it started out with his little servant girl,
right,
saying, hey, tell Naaman that we know somebody and, that can cure him.
That's right.
And he has to make a big deal about it. Well, I better go.
It's not that hard. Just go visit him.
I better go to the king and get a letter from him and then go to
the king of Israel,
Elisha's king, and get him to make Elisha do what I've already been told is going to happen.
Right.
That's what we do.
Yeah,
we
sure
just make a mess of things when we don't take God at his word.
How come you're looking at me when you say those words, Carla? Just wondering.
It's all of us. We just blow things out of proportion, right? All his instruction, just go wash in the Jordan River. And like you said, it wasn't enough fanfare. Maybe Naaman had imagined, there was going to be like a magic show where boom, he's just automatically, instantly cured and everybody's amazed. But lucky for Naaman, he had those servants with him, were able to talk him down. They appealed to his common sense and they convinced him to follow the instructions. Just go wash in the river. And he did. And his flesh did again become like the flesh of a little child. Now, this story of Naaman's hearing, it presents a pretty common depiction of the way that so many of us approach God with our problems, right? We go to God, we tell him our problems, and then we follow up with detailed instructions on exactly how God should go about fixing our problems. And when we pray that way, we create for ourselves a predicament very much like the one that Naaman faced, because we're not acting in faith. We're just asking God to supercharge our own abilities so that we can bring about the kind of resolution that we envision. It's the reverse of the way that we should be responding, and it sounds something like this. Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. We've all heard that before, right? Well, when we bring our troubles to God, we have to also let go of them, in that we have to leave the outcome entirely up to God. When we make up our minds that the only acceptable outcome is one that fits comfortably and neatly in our lives the way we've envisioned it, we close the door on the endless possibilities of God. The resolutions that God sends us aren't always easy to accept, because they don't always fit the planned outcomes that we might imagine. And like Naaman, at first we may reject and refuse God's help until we finally realize that we don't have any other options, and we decide to take that leap of faith to accept God's direction, and in the end, become so surprised to find the blessings that he so lovingly sends us.
Yeah, you make a really good point on that. Our assumptions, our preconceptions, how we want to be healed to fit into our lives. And we see here how God, through Elisha, did something amazing out of a relatively simple act. And this healing can be physical, it can be spiritual, it could be both, right? We did see Naaman both physically and, I would say, spiritually.
He had a conversion,
healed, right?
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
And I think the call here, or maybe a little tagline, is sanctify a simple act. Mm. Whether on the receiving end of that or whether we're on the giving end of that, You know, healing does not have to entail extraordinary measures, regardless of, again, our preconceptions on that.
Right.
So if we can receive an act of charity from someone, we can be changed. If we can give an act of charity, we can help change others. And quite frankly, when we give charity, we are changed as well, right?
We change ourselves, right, yeah.
So take that simple act of helping, of healing or being healed, and just and accept it, mm-hmm. right? How important that receiving that simple act or giving that simple act is.
Yeah. Not always easy.
No, it's not all easy. Yeah, because we have these ways that we want things to be done, and right. it's not God's ways oftentimes.
The letting go, the surrender.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen to that, right. Well, in the second reading today, we hear from second letter of St. Paul to Timothy.
Yes, we do. And St. Paul is reminding Timothy that he is a prisoner for the sake of the gospel. And he makes the point that even though he can be kept in chains, the truth of the gospel cannot be stopped with prisons or chains. And he reminds us that his enemies can kill him, but no power on earth can kill the truth, the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And being Catholic Christians, death does have a positive meaning for us. Now, granted, death is a consequence of sin. Death is the end of our early life, earthly life. Again, that's not not an end of existence, but a separation of that mm-hmm. body and soul, right? So in many ways, we are more alive when we're united with Christ. We're more part of that body of Christ. So we need to remember that although it often is difficult when we have friends and relatives die, we of course pray for their salvation, and we realize because Christ, through his passion, death, and resurrection, he has transformed death into something that is in union with him. I think there's a beautiful statement by St. Ignatius that says this: "It is better for me to die in Christ Jesus than to reign over the ends of the earth. Him it is I seek who died for us. Him it is I desire who rose for us." Mm-hmm. What a beautiful way to look at ultimately the union of Christ through our death and ultimately our salvation.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, our final gospel or final story today involves some lepers.
It does.
Ten, to be exact.
The lepers in this gospel reading, they represent really the majority of Christians in our world. You know, for many people, God is some kind of faraway, magical, mystical being. And a lot of people really have no need for him on a regular daily basis. That is, until trouble strikes, you know, and then suddenly people begin to pray. Suddenly they remember their faith. And God uses the trials in our lives as a way to get our attention, you know, to get us to reach out to him, to remind us that we really do need him and that we need him every day. And just as with Naaman, we won't be healed. We cannot be healed until we break down the barrier that we've built in our lives that separate us from the grace of God. You know, until we go before him with humble and contrite hearts and cry out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us."
Yeah, you make a really good point in the sense of it's oftentimes these sufferings are meant for our healing, our justification, our redemption. And we have to go and come to that point to say, "Jesus, have pity on us," like these lepers. And remember, both Naaman and the Samaritan were foreigners. What a beautiful message to the universality of Christ and his message. And so it's our duty to return to the Lord and give thanks for him for what he has done for us. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.